Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. For those of you tuning in from Israel, I hope you're having a wonderful evening. And I want to shout out to Nitzan and a couple of my other friends, Nir and Dahlia. And I just want you to know that I miss you and I can't wait to come out and see you again. Bride of Christ Radio is committed to bridging the gap between Israel and the nations, educating the world against anti-Semitism, and supporting the legitimate nation of Israel. In future broadcasts, I'll be discussing the situation in the Middle East, attacks on Israel, how it affects the United States and the rest of the West, as well as suicide bombings and why they occur. I'm a firm supporter of Israel myself and an advocate for the Jewish people. If you'd like more information on the conditions in the Middle East and where you can attend events in your area, go to kufi.org. That's ChristiansUnitedForIsrael.org. And click on events in the upper right corner to view the calendar of local events in your area. I'm only a member of Kufi, and I'm not a spokesperson for the organization. However, I am committed to the Jewish people as much as Kufi, since they're a wonderful grassroots organization who's dedicated to educating the world and creating one voice for Israel. I support Kufi as well. In addition, I'm personally here to minister to the masses of souls who've been wounded, broken, lost, and searching for a shepherd. Again, I'm your host, Deborah Powers. If you'd like to reach out to me via email, you can write to talk@wbocradio.org, or you can write to me at WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. If you'd like to call into the broadcast today with questions or comments, the number is 515-602-9613. You can also join my blog, get copies of my books, or listen to previous episodes of the podcast at wbocradio.org. You can also like us on Facebook at bocradio.org, where the podcasts are posted immediately after the broadcast. That's facebook.com/bocradio.org. Stay tuned in over the next few months for in-depth studies for my latest book, Mystery of the Ketubah. It was released September 10th. These studies will include revealing the identity of the bride, getting to know our Jewish roots as Christians, understanding cultural divisions in ancient Jewish wedding traditions in Israel, which Jesus referred to throughout Scripture. When we read the Word of God through the eyes of a bride, the mystery of the Word can be understood by anyone. You don't have to be a scholar or a theologian to decipher the Word of God. When you've been equipped with the true identity of the church, you won't want to miss it. Maybe you or someone you know is seeking answers to the questions about your salvation, or you've had doubt about the Word of God. Perhaps you're not sure God still cares about you, or you're wondering if He even exists at all. Then please stay tuned into this series for an in-depth look into these questions. Please get a copy of my first book. It's called Tell Them I Am Sent Me. I've given this book to lost souls all over the world, from prisons to nursing homes. It's full of these very questions which keep many people from having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'll answer many of those questions that you're still asking, that you have in your mind, that make you think that you're not good enough to come to the throne of God. Today, I'll be talking about the ministry of helps in the body of Christ with Crystal Perry. If you'd like to be part of the discussion, give me a call at 515-602-9613. And I just want to also give a shout out right now to Crystal, because tomorrow is her birthday. And I thank God that she was born, I won't say how many years ago. She's still young, but I just want to thank the Lord for bringing her into my life and using her and giving her the tenacity of not giving up. And so basically what I'm talking about today is based from Corinthians 12 and 28, but I'm going to read 27 through 31 to you. It says, Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Okay, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Did you hear that? That word helps was slipped in there. There's a ministry of helps. He says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Well, you notice that the gifts of help doesn't come at the end. Matter of fact, it even says there's diversities of tongues and diverse, you know, there's governments. So helps is thrown in there somewhere in the middle, but it's still just as important. It's just like saying that, well, you're a worse sinner than me because you're an alcoholic and all I do is smoke a cigarette. Well, that's not the truth. The truth is, a sin is a sin. Whether it's a white lie or a bold-faced lie, it doesn't matter. It's still sin. And, you know, God's just, he's going to judge them the same. So it's no different. But when we look at the gifts that God's given us to increase the body of Christ and to promote the word of God, he gives us helps. The reason I've asked Crystal to come on the show today is because sometimes when you've been given the gift of helps, you don't feel like you're as important when you're, you know, watching the children in the nursery or cleaning the toilets or maybe cooking in the kitchen as you are when there's someone standing up on that platform and speaking to the masses. Because if that person was standing up there and they didn't have the ministry of helps in the church, they would be nothing. They would have nothing, and they would be able not to accomplish, they wouldn't be able to accomplish anything because they're not able to do everything themselves. And I think that the greatest gift that somebody can receive is people who want to support their ministry and who believe in the word of God and love the Lord and want to give themselves to the body of Christ wholeheartedly. Because without that, then there could be no voice. Just like without the neck, the head has nothing to be attached to. Without the arm, the hand can do nothing. And without the little toe or even the big toe, you can't balance yourself very well when you're walking. Just ask an amputee. They have to learn to walk all over again. So whatever you think you are in the body of Christ and how unimportant, you know, your position or your gift is, it's absolutely ridiculous to think that you're any less important than the mouth or the brain or the heart or the lungs or even the feet that get us to where we need to go. And so the reason I've called Crystal on and asked her to come in and speak with us today is because Crystal has a wonderful ministry of helps and her heart is so big. She is one of those persons who, when you ask her if she would do something, she's the first to jump in. And it's not because she just wants to be involved in everything and she just wants to do everything and be seen. It's because she truly knows that that's her calling. She knows that she's been called to help. So, Crystal.
Yes, ma'am.
The first thing that I want to ask is when you were first called, not just into the ministry, but to help people, when did that first occur to you? When did you know that that's what you were supposed to do?
I felt like I was called to be a helper about at least 5 years ago.
It's like that's when you realized at that time that's what you were supposed to be doing.
In my heart, I felt it was true.
So I'm going to just ask Crystal to tell a little bit about her background and how she got started because of her job. And because there's something very exciting has just happened here recently with her. And it might not seem like a big deal, but when God has anointed you and called you out of one place and into another, you may feel like you're lost. But if you know that you're walking in his will, then you know and you know exactly where you are. Exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And you might not know how you're going to get there or where this is going to lead, but you just step out in faith that he's going to take care of it. That's what she's done here recently. But going back when I first met her, it was 6 years ago, this past couple of months. And what were you doing for a living at the time?
I was working in the home health field.
And you were taking care of?
I was taking care of the elderly or, you know, young people, just whoever needed help.
And about 5 years ago, we had already been friends for about a year at that point, and you were taking care of another person at that time. And you just really, I remember you telling me that God had just really showed you exactly who you were. And I want you to tell them a little bit about you getting your high school diploma, if you don't mind talking about that. And I want you to tell us how, you know, what that made you feel like before you had it and even after you got it and the opportunities that it opened up for you.
Well, I quit school in the 11th grade and didn't really do much with my life at that point.
And you weren't serving the Lord?
I was not. I was saved whenever I was about 13. And then, you know, things happened and I just kind of fell away from God and had a baby at 19. And
you were married at the time, right?
Yeah, I got married in 2010. But anyway.
So when you were called, actually, did you just go right from, you know, you left school, you got married, you had a baby, and then after that, you just didn't really have any purpose? You didn't feel like you knew exactly what you were supposed to be doing?
Yeah, I didn't feel like I had a purpose at all. You know, I joined the home health business in 2008.
Was that just out of necessity or at the time?
It just wasn't. I just did whatever. I got into whatever, you know, career or job that I was looking
that
for.
That was going to pay you at the time?
Yeah, I wasn't really looking for anything specific, but I got into that job and I really started to like it, you know. And off and on for about 5 or 6 years, I did try to get my GED and was unsuccessful. And every time that I failed the test, it just made me feel like an idiot and that I wasn't smart. And, you know, I felt worthless. And so this past December, I finally did get it after
putting forth some effort and actually studying, huh?
Yeah, because I don't like to sit down and do books for too long. It just drives me crazy. So
you're talking about probably 90% of every high schooler?
Yeah, I don't stay focused for too long. I just got to get up and move. And
you got to be doing stuff with your hands. And,
yeah. So I finally got it in December and was just so over the moon. I felt like, you know, I don't know. I just felt like a new person. I felt like
that it validated you.
It was validation, but it was also reward and, like, I don't know, joy. And
I remember
so many different emotions.
Yeah, I remember it was emotional for everybody because I know how much that it meant to you. And of course, it made me cry and everything, seeing you go up there and be able to get your diploma. But I remember you saying that you, now you know you're not stupid. You knew you weren't stupid before, but it didn't matter how many people told you that. You needed to prove that to yourself. Well, after she got her GED, she actually had an opportunity, because we live in the state of Tennessee, and you're now considered a high school graduate in the state of Tennessee when you go through the program at the college. And it's no longer a GED, it's actually a high school diploma, which is wonderful. And I think that was part of the plan that God had all along, because that's what she wanted, was that high school diploma. She didn't want it to be called something different. And even though she felt validated and she had gotten that, in the state of Tennessee, they have the Tennessee Promise Scholarship. And Crystal could have went to college for 2 years.
For free.
Tell us a little bit about that, because you were being pulled between knowing who you were already, being able to have these opportunities, and then trying to explain why you weren't going to take them. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I was still working in the home health business at this time, just up until, you know, almost a month ago, I think. And so I was torn, because I loved the person that I was I loved the person that I was taking care of, but I was feeling a tug for about 2 years to to go. You know, I wanted so badly to just leave. I was
ready
to walk out
full time.
Yeah, I was ready at that point, but God said no. Every single time I said, "Is it time? Can I go now?"
Because you, excuse me, because you didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And it's not that you, I mean, you did enjoy a paycheck and it is nice to have that extra money, but it had nothing to do with finances for you.
Right.
It was about being in that place and positioning yourself right where you knew you were supposed to be. I had taken Crystal with me to Israel for the first time. It's been since 2015. It was in March of 2015. And after that, she got the bug. And I just took her over there. We went by ourselves and we stayed at, I mentioned this last week, it's called the Allenby. It's a wonderful place to stay when you go to Israel, if you're just going there with a small group of people, even if you're just there going by, is what I've always done, is go over by myself or with a one person. And once she was bit by Israel and she fell in love with the place as much as I did, she knew exactly what she was supposed to be doing. She wanted to be in the ministry full time. And Crystal has always been that kind of person that has been hungry, absolutely hungry for the Lord and more. It's like she cannot get enough of the Lord and she wants to serve him with everything that she has, but she didn't think that she had anything to give him. So tell us more about when we first met. You can go ahead. I'm going to let you tell that story about when we met at the camp and we sat down at the picnic table and we began to talk. And you were attending a church at that time for about 5 years, I believe. For how long was it?
I think it was only about a year or two. We weren't in there very long because we had I was backslid, but my husband wasn't saved. So he had just got saved, you know, a couple months before, and we were at this church. It was like an old family church, you know.
Because you got married in 2010.
Yeah.
And you got married in that church, right?
Yeah. We were the second couple to get married in the church because it had just been
all right.
Built.
And you had been attending. I hate to tell you how long you've been attending a church, but I know this for a fact because we met in the late summer of 2012. So you'd been attending that church for almost 3 years. Almost 3 years.
Well, tell us when you're having fun.
There you go. Okay, so I just had to correct you on that. It's okay. You must have just settled in and it was just your family. So anyway, as we were sitting there talking, I was telling Crystal that I wasn't going to be staying much longer because what had happened is I'd gone to that church, and I won't get into a lot of the details because there were some tragedies that had happened in the church with the pastor, and he had passed away in a terrible accident. And I was getting ready to leave, but I knew that God would not release me from that church. So they had invited me to a camping trip, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go, and then after this, I'm going to let them know that this is, you know, I need to leave because this is where I'm supposed to be going. And I said, Lord, I don't know what it is you have for me, but if you don't take care of it this weekend, I got to get out of here. And I know that's not very spiritually speaking, but I knew that I was supposed to move through. I knew I was supposed to go and get on with it. And so I was sitting the next day after the very first night of camping, came out of the cabin and sitting at the picnic table, and Crystal comes over and sits down and we begin to talk, and her husband comes over. I won't get into all the details. There's just too many things to tell. I'll say that by the time we left there off that picnic table, they said, wherever you go, we're going with you. And I left that church 2 weeks later because I had committed myself to a vacation Bible school, and both Crystal and her husband and I left and went to the new church. And we've been best friends ever since, even though I didn't necessarily want to be friends with her. And it's not because of anything that she had done. It's because I'd been hurt very badly by a friend in the ministry that I won't get into. But I just didn't want anybody to be able to get that close to me again. But she was tenacious and she would not leave me alone. And I wasn't being mean or anything, but I remember Crystal saying to me one day, she calls me and she's like, "Can I come over?" And I was like, "Well, I'm outside working right now." And I was laying some patio pavers and redoing my walkway around my prayer garden. And she goes, "I don't care what you're doing. I just want to come over and help. I'll do anything you want me to help you with. I just want to be around you." And what was happening is that Crystal was just so hungry for the Lord that she wanted to be fed. She knew, because she could feel the anointing on my life, but more importantly, she felt the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't explain that. I can't explain how I was feeling about it, because I was trying to just block it out. I didn't want another close friend again. Crystal, tell me a little bit about how you were feeling at that time and what it was that you were searching for, that you felt like maybe you weren't getting at the church.
Well, I had a lot of fear in my life. I was terrified to die, like, because they had put it into my mind that, you know, I wasn't going to be good enough to go to heaven. And that really affected me. But I, on the other hand, I knew that something just wasn't right about that. So
you knew in your spirit it didn't feel right. You knew that there was a truth out there.
Right, but I was still very terrified. I was scared to die, you know. And I really didn't feel like I was supposed to be doing anything, because I just felt like I was just here and
you just existed with no purpose.
Yeah, I was just supposed to work.
I remember that. I forgot about that, because it's like God just delivered you from that. Sometimes he would try to put it back on you, and I would just speak against that in the name of Jesus and bind that. But I remember she was so fearful, and she was afraid to do anything. As a matter of fact, the day that she came over to help me with those pavers, she said, "Well, what can I do? Just tell me what I can do." So I told her that she could take some of these plants. What I was doing is I was sculpting these pavers out of concrete, and I had this, what's it called? It's a square thing.
Stencil.
Kind of like a stencil. It's wasn't a stencil. It was a form.
Mold.
It was a mold. Yeah. So I was pouring concrete into these molds, and I was going to decorate them with some of the fern leaves that I had and the other plants that were around my garden. And I told her, I said, "Well, you could get some of those leaves and you can press them into the tops of the molds that are already set up." And she's like, "Well, how do I do this?" And she knew how to do it, but she didn't want to. And I was like, "What is wrong?" She goes, "Well, I'm afraid to mess it up." I'm like, "That's all I ever hear you say. It's, well, I'm afraid. Well, I'm afraid." And I said, it's boiling hot outside, and this is what we're dealing with, is fear. And I said, "Look, it's concrete, it's wet. If you mess it up, we'll fix it." I said, "You can't ever learn to do something if you don't try." And right there was that, at that pivotal moment, is when I just saw something change in Crystal, because it was from that point on that we just continued to move through that. And she was never allowed to say, "I'm afraid," again in front of me, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what's the very first scripture? I'm going to put you on the spot. What's the very first scripture I had you memorize?
2 Timothy 1:7.
And it was?
For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. That's right. And that's exactly what I made her say. Every time she would say, "Well, I'm afraid." "Oh, never mind," you know, and she would catch herself, because we have to have confidence. When I was driving through Knoxville, and I was asking the Lord, I believe I shared this with you a couple weeks ago, and I was telling this story about driving through Knoxville, and I kept asking God. I saw these people around me dying of cancer and disease and all kinds of problems, even pneumonia. I never had seen such a rise of pneumonia killing young kids. And I said, Lord, what is it going to take? Is it, you know, to heal? I'm thinking, what is it going to take for the body of Christ to be able to start moving again in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit? The power in Jesus' name, the power that he had given us to use, that he left us with, is that name. And I asked him, I said, what is it going to take, Lord, to see that again? Is it going to take faith? Because I know. Actually, I said, does it take boldness? Because you know I'm bold. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Is it going to take faith? Because you said all we need is the grain the size, you know, of a mustard seed. And then I said, is it about confidence? But as I was getting ready to say the word confidence, that's when I looked up and there was a billboard and he said, it's about confidence. What Crystal needed and what she lacked was confidence. If you're just tuning in to the broadcast, I'm your host, Deborah Powers, and we're talking about helps, the ministry of helps, the gift of helps in the body of Christ with Crystal Perry, and she's giving her testimony. If you'd like to call in with your comments or questions, I'll take calls at 515-602-9613. If you have any questions for Crystal, you can call in as well and ask her any questions. You can also reach out to us at talk@wbocradio.org. Okay. And so what Crystal lacked was the confidence in who she was. She knew that she was called to help. And so jumping ahead again and going back to that GED, when she got it, or excuse me, your diploma, when she got that diploma, the reason she didn't go into college and take those 2 years for free is because she knew she was supposed to go into the ministry. Well, the school would have started, I believe it was...
it was going to be in 2 weeks.
Was it? It was in September, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so God had already laid it on my heart. All these things just started folding into place. And I had been saying for years that when that one domino falls, all the rest are going to fall in place. And I kept telling her, and she knew that it wasn't time for her to leave. And it wasn't because of any circumstances she had been in. She just knew that she was supposed to step out. And once God lays it on your heart, it's really hard to stay in place. It's sort of like the Israelites who had to hold the presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the Jordan River. They were holding back the river to keep from, you know, it washing everybody else away so that they could cross over on dry ground. You know, but when you're standing there, you know, you've been called to cross over. You are the first ones in, but you're going to be the first ones out because it's your position, it's your job to help get everybody else across. And matter of fact, I'm going to look up this scripture so I could quote it to you perfectly. And it's in Joshua chapter 1, and I believe it's around 14, somewhere around there. Let me read. It says, let's see, until the Lord has given you rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land. So he's talking about those, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given you rest, as he hath given you, given them rest, as he has given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sunrise. So what he's saying is, and what I was trying to refer to, is that when you get everybody else across, even though you know who you are, you know where you're supposed to be, you got to help everybody else get across first. You know, all those others have to get across as well, and then you can cross over. And so Crystal knew that she was supposed to step out. She knew she was supposed to leave, and God had given her that direction. He gave her purpose. She knew who she was. And once you figure that out, it's pretty hard to rest and stop gnashing at the bit. You just want to go. But there was one thing that the Lord was holding her back and was waiting. He was holding her back because everything was pivoting on that one thing. And sometimes when God's called you out, and I want you to hear this, if you're listening to me right now, you can call in with any questions or comments that you have. And that number is 515-602-9613. And if, like I said, I want you to hear this because if you know that God's called you into a place and you haven't stepped out, or you just don't feel like it's time, you don't feel that release, it's because there's more to it than just you. It's not always about, you know, about you. It's about all those other people around you. It doesn't matter, you know, what's going on. It doesn't matter if you're prepared. It doesn't matter if you've done everything he's told you to do. There's other people involved. Every time there's people involved, you know, things get messed up. However, it takes time to get everybody in position. And all these people were waiting for one thing to happen. So going back to Crystal and her finally getting to step out, it was a divine appointment. It was ordained. The Lord had set it up perfectly. And her very last day was
September 7th.
September 7th. Oh, I just realized that. The 7th.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even occur to me. The number 7, it represents divine completion. And by the way, if you're wondering if there's any weird noises going on in the studio today, it's because we have gotten rain here in McMinnville, Tennessee. It's been pouring buckets, and so the dogs are inside because they may be farm dogs, but they do not like the rain. So they're over here wrestling around and wallowing on the floor. But going back to Crystal, she left on the 7th. The 7th is completion. It's God's divine completion, and he finished it. And the day that she showed up here, she started as a studio assistant, which is her title, in the ministry and for WBOC Radio, for Bach Publishing. She helps in every way that she can. She's just a wonderful gift from the Lord, and I thank her so much for being obedient to the Lord and for that hungry heart that she has for him. So I just want you to know that I do appreciate you. And that you are the backbone. And anybody that's in the ministry is a help. The gift of help, you know now it's a gift from God, is the backbone of any ministry. So if you're the greeter at the door, if you're cleaning the church bathroom, if you're helping in the nursery and no one ever sees you and nobody ever cares, they just come and get their kids and they know that they got to hear a wonderful sermon today and be lifted up, and you're in the back with the kids crying and for their mamas and they're screaming and hitting each other with the toys. Just remember, if it wasn't for you, then that young mother may not have sat through that sermon and heard a word that she needed to hear that would have brought her salvation. Maybe there's a guest that comes in with their kids and they just don't know what they're going to do with their children. You know, there's all kinds of things I can say, but without the gift of helps in the church, then we wouldn't be able to stand. And this ministry would be a lot different than it is today without Crystal helping. And even going and checking the P.O. box or paying the bills or, you know, updating the website, whatever it is that she's going to be doing in the future, it could be ministering to the masses of people that, you know, they may have got to hear me speak at that conference, but who's going to be able to reach all of them on the ground that need a touch from the Lord? Who's going to lay hands on them and pray and have those words to speak to them? It's going to be people like Crystal. So I want her to know, as well as you, that you are important, that God needs you in the body of Christ. And right now I'm going to ask her to kick those dogs out. So will you open the door and let them out? And where Crystal comes in is that, you know, the most important thing where she's concerned is that knowing who you are and having confidence in it, regardless of what type of ministry it is, regardless of how little you think that you matter, when you don't show up to greet that person at the door, they wonder where you are. It's not that they have to open the door themselves or pick up a pamphlet off the shelf all by themselves. It's not about that. It's about you doing it with the joy in your heart. And when you greet that person with a smile, you may be the only person that they touched that week, even if it was a handshake or a hug, depending on who it was, you know, depending on a kiss on the cheek. You know, God is wonderful. And for him to put somebody there as a greeter, I don't even care if you're a Walmart greeter for that matter, and you feel insignificant. God has a place for you. and he wants to use you, even if it's you bringing that special dessert on every fifth Sunday at your service when you have your potluck, you know. People look forward to saying, oh, there's Miss Betty's dump cake. Boy, do I love Miss Betty. Nobody makes that cake like Miss Betty. I don't think you should be eating too much dump cake, by the way. Even though it is delicious, it's not good for your health. So that was just my little fair. But getting back to you, Crystal, thanks for letting the dogs out. I do appreciate that. I want to know, when you left and you stepped out of that position, how did you feel inside?
I wanted to shout so loud because I was just released and just happy, you know, because it was not a good environment. It just wasn't.
And it's not that you didn't love the person that you were taking
right.
care of or the other
all.
People.
It was just, it was time. And
because
I
of the way
released.
Where you were mentally, I remember you saying, you knew that you couldn't be there anymore because you knew where you were supposed to be, right?
Yeah, I was like, I felt like I was in my spirit just waiting at the door. Is it time? Is
You're
it
on the
time?
Threshold,
I'm
right?
Fidgety, you know, can I leave now? Is it time? Can I go? You know?
Right.
That's how I was in my spirit. You know, I just wanted to shout.
So
and
you
I
showed
still
up
feel
here.
So happy, you know.
So you showed up here Monday morning.
Yeah, and I just said, use me, God.
And what happened?
I was baptized and anointed with oil.
And you're not ever going back to the plow, right?
That's right. People have asked me to come and clean and do whatever, and I just said, no, thank you. Because I've
right.
moved on to bigger and better things.
And, you know, it's not always about that bottom dollar or getting that extra 50 bucks in your pocket or even a couple $100 or $300, whatever it may be. It's not about that because God said anybody who had put their hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What he's trying to say is I'm asking you to rely on me right now, to put, put your faith completely in me, knowing that I'm going to take care of that mortgage payment. I'm going to take care of those extra bills that you have. I'm going to buy your groceries each week. And you're still going to have more than enough. It's going to be pressed down, shaken together, and running over what people give into your bosom, and that you'll still be able to give to other people. You'll still be able to take care of the things that I know those were. That was one of the things that weighed on your heart. You know, if I do this right now, am I going to have a hard time paying this or paying that?
Yeah, I'm definitely the type of person sometimes to worry about things like that, but I'm learning.
That's right. And you know, the most amazing thing when she was anointed with the oil on September 10th, as we looked at the bottle of oil that I had brought back, I had gone to Israel by myself in September. And I told this story where I'd gone over there and I went to be baptized again in the Jordan River, had no idea who was going to do it. And when I get there, that same well-known pastor was in the Jordan River on the very day that the Lord had told me to go there. And that was on September 10th of 2014. And when Crystal showed up here on September 10th, it was the day that the radio broadcast started. It was the day that she was entering into a new season in her life as well. I think this season is going to last well over 50 years. I do believe. I believe it's going to last well over 50 years for me. Matter of fact, you may think I'm crazy, and this is only if the Lord don't come before that, but I do believe and I know for a fact I'm going to be living to be in my hundreds. So don't be surprised if I'm still on the air in another, you know, 60 years, all right? Just letting you know, and Crystal's going to be right there, and God has given her a heart that is completely led to him. And I don't have to worry about someone stabbing me in the back or hurting me or doing something vicious, because it's absolutely not like that at all. Crystal is my friend. She loves the Lord, and we love our husbands. Our husband's completely supportive in what we do, praise God, and we love them very much. And we just thank the Lord for our families and our children, and we ask that the Lord will bless them and lift them up. We have just about 20 minutes left. And the story doesn't end with just you coming here on the 10th and being anointed, because this is just the end of the beginning. Okay, it's the end It's the beginning of the end. Okay, get that. It's the beginning of the end and the end of the beginning, because it's just the beginning of everything and the end of everything that was behind us. There's always a new day. So you could say today is the first day of the rest of your life, whether it's to live for the Lord, whatever God's called you in. Where do you think you're going from here, Crystal? What do you think's going to happen? What do you have in your heart? Because you didn't go to college. And you didn't really have to explain that to anybody. Nobody held you accountable for that. It's whatever you wanted to do, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm, it was. I was asked the question by some people, you know, are you going to go or you're not? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I think I'm just going to hang out for a while. But really, I knew in my spirit when I said I'm just going to hang out for a little while, that meant that I'm just going to be here in the presence of God and just waiting to be used. And so I believe in my heart and in my spirit that I will be used to be a helper or, you know, whatever.
Whatever God uses you for in the ministry.
I'm just here, God.
You know, it's really hard. And I'm putting Crystal on the spot with a lot of these questions. I wouldn't tell her anything I was going to ask. And truthfully, I just wanted to talk frankly with you and open so that the people could get a real sense of what the Lord wants to do through them, just as well as he had done through us. It doesn't have to all be scripted. Sometimes it's really hard. And, you know, a lot of times you're not supposed to share things that God has put on your heart or the things that doesn't seem like they're natural in the flesh, but let's say the natural course of action. So if people felt that Crystal, whatever reason they felt this, was getting her diploma because she wanted bigger and better things and to go get a bigger and better job, which is something that, you know, anybody that's been out of high school for a while and is an old woman now. No, so she's still young. I'm just teasing her because it is her birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday again. I got to say that again.
Thanks.
But no, it's really hard to explain to them what you're going to do, why you're not going to go to college, or why you're not going to, for me, for example.
They expect you to justify everything, and you don't have to do
that. Yeah, because in their minds, they think that you should be doing something.
Yeah.
That really, that's not the purpose. The purpose, which she never really needed that high school diploma to, you know, make her feel a certain way, but in her heart, she wanted to prove to herself that she could do it.
Not just to myself, but also to my grandmother, who got hers at the age of like 63.
That's right.
And also to my son, who's 12. You know, I wanted to show him that his mama is smart and that if you put your mind to it, you can do anything.
Well, praise God. What I want to make a point, though, is that it's hard to explain to people why you're not going to do something, especially when it's 2 years of free college or it's a pastoralship in a church or, you know, $120,000 job that you turned down. And that has happened. But scripture, I'll say, that is very telling, and sometimes it can be insulting, but it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. You can't explain to people why you're not doing what you should be doing in the flesh when it's through the Spirit that God's called you. You have to be obedient to God. She couldn't really explain, and she doesn't have to tell her heart, and you don't either. You don't have to expose your heart to other people for criticism. Because it's not theirs. God gave that to you. He's the one that gave you the direction. He's the one that gave you your calling. And it might not make sense in the flesh, but it definitely gives you peace in the spirit because you're right where you're supposed to be. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking with Crystal Perry, and she's been giving her testimony about the ministry of helps. You definitely do understand that that's the ministry that you have. It's a ministry of helps, right?
I get it now.
You know exactly who you are, don't you?
Yeah.
And you have confidence in that, don't you?
I have.
If you want to give us a call, you can call in at 515-602-9613. We only have 15 minutes left in the show. If you want to send us an email, if you have any questions, discussions on the upcoming series that we're about to start, Mystery of the Ketubah. If you want to even know what a ketubah is or the mikvah, anything like that, you could write us in our email at talk@wbocradio.org. You could join us on Facebook at bocradio.org. That's facebook.com/bocradio.org. Or you could write to WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. I want you to know that this is completely funded by me and my family right now. And that's how we're being able to minister to you on the air. And I want you to know that not only have I given everything to the Lord, and I've given him my job, but Crystal as well believes enough in the word because she wants to be there setting out those dinner plates at the marriage supper of the Lamb as well at her table. And she wants to bring in as many people as she can. And she may have a bigger crown in heaven than, you know, a great, I won't say it. Okay, I'm going to say it. A big television evangelist. You know, it's not about how big your mouth is, and I can testify to that. It's how big your heart is, and that's what God measures. It's the motives behind the things that we do. You could be the biggest helper in the church and volunteer for every single thing out there, but it doesn't mean that your motives doesn't mean that they're right. You got to do things for the right reasons. You got to be called into the ministry for the right reasons. You got to stand behind the pulpit for the right reasons. And you definitely got to start a broadcast to speak to the nations, you know, at the drop of a hat, just like that, because that's where you're supposed to be. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what God called you to do at any cost. And if you don't know how to do something, if you've been called to write a book, if you've been called to start a radio broadcast or a blog or build a website, there's only one message in the word of God that I say to take advantage of right now, and that is one word. It should be one word. It probably is one word in the Hebrew and the Greek, and that word is do it. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. You just do it. When you left on the 7th, did you just do it?
I just did it, yeah.
When I started this broadcast, did I just do it?
Mm-hmm.
When I decided to write my first book, did I just do it? Did I lay it all out myself? You know what I'm saying, people? You just got to step out in faith and know. But here's the other thing I want you to understand, that if God's called you into something, he's going to equip you with the gifts and the talents to do it. But it doesn't mean that you have to jump out and do it right then. You could possibly, if he's saying do it right now, if he's called you to start a church, well, you know what? Go to the local Denny's, put an ad in the newspaper, and just start congregating. Is Denny's still open, by the way?
In some states.
Okay. We'll go to IHOP. Okay, go into IHOP. They're not going to care if you get four or five people in a booth. You just join together because where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I guarantee if you start having church in the middle of IHOP or Denny's, or who knows, go to Waffle House, okay? Waffle House is just as good. You can start having church right there. And if you start showing up every Sunday, those people are going to start coming. And before you know it, you're going to get a little storefront or meet in somebody's house every Sunday. And his wife's going to have some muffin, donuts, and coffee on hand, you know, because once it goes into the house, you know, that's where it is. But that's where it started. It's where it should end. There's a wonderful church up in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and it's pastored, Crystal?
By Eddie Turner.
Pastor Eddie Turner, and you go to?
Family Worship Center.
That's right. And it's a wonderful church. I visited there probably, I'm thinking it's been 8 years ago now is when I first went there to visit and got to know the people. And it's where my pastor from Mississippi goes now, and I didn't even know it, but God moved me here, and then him and his wife ended up, I won't say retiring, but he's not in a church right now, and he goes to this church. He's only an hour away from here. It's a little bit further for me to go, but it's about an hour's drive. But what they do in the evenings is they, or on the Sundays, every other Sunday, And he explains it very well why they do this, because he said that the congregation was never meant to all sit and stare at one man speaking to them. It all started out in the houses. That's where the ministry started. It's where it should end. And yeah, he does give a message. He has two services a morning because the church is so large. I would say that it's the biggest little church I've ever been in, because the church is huge, but the heart and of the church is still that very connected, well-rounded, loving, kind church. And when you walk into that church, you know that you're loved. You know that when these people say something to you, they're sincere. Like, hey, sister, how you doing? They're not doing it, just doing that because they have to. They sincerely mean it, and you can tell it. You can tell that that's how they feel about you, and that they're not just trying to get you to come back or something. It's sincere. It's sincerity. That's what people are looking for today, is sincerity. So what they do on every other Sunday is they have these life groups, and there's probably, I'd say, at least 15 different life groups.
There's more than that. We just learned this past Sunday that there's over, I think, 40-something.
Wow.
Yeah. And they pretty much just meet whenever is good for everybody in the group. So some of them are on Friday night, some of them are on Saturday night, some of them are Sunday night. So it's just whatever.
Well, originally the way it started out was supposed to take the place of the second service. But the reason that they did that is because what she's talking about is the life groups pertain to, the life groups are arranged to pertain to the individual. So they have these different life groups with names that will say one group is for single mothers. Another group will say, Fabulous 40s or something. I'm just making these things up. Another will be over 60, because they want it to pertain to the individual needs of the body. So if you get the, and it's not that they're separating these people out from each other, it's just that they want you to have something in common with them. If you're 60 years old, you've had, you know, your kids in that, and here's a mother coming in, and her kids nobody could watch them. She can't do the things that they're doing, and maybe she doesn't have a babysitter, whereas if she went to a life group for single mothers, then they're going to have somebody on hand to watch those little ones so that she can actually receive and have some time to herself. And it may be their kids or a teenager that's volunteered to take the kids into, you know, outside or into another room and play with them or whatever it may be. It's just really an awesome thing to do, and they all get together. They do things together as groups that's entertaining. But mostly, you know, it's supposed to be about ministering to their individual needs.
And that personal.
And yeah, very personal. And so you and Kelly, your husband, has found an awesome life group that you belong to. And what did you do this past week? Just tell me real quick, because we've got to close and pray. Well, but I want them to hear this, because it's just something that you should maybe think about doing in your own church if your pastor and will allow.
Our pastor, Eddie Turner, has asked all of the life groups to get a book called Connected in the Church. So pretty much as of right now, all of the different life groups are studying on this book about Connected in the Church, being connected in the church. And we just went to their home, and there was lots of kids there, but there was also lots of adults, and we just started in on that book. But we had a time of prayer towards the end, and we sang songs, and it was just a wonderful time to be in that room with so many different believers, you know, in the same mindset.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to close. Crystal, I thank you so much for coming on the air. I love you as my sister in Christ. You're an amazing, an example of not just the ministry of helps, but what a young Christian woman should be. And I thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I want to close right now with prayer. I want to pray for the nations. I want to pray for the peace of Israel and the peace of the United States, and that everybody in the sound of my voice will have received salvation. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus with worship, and we lift you up and we exalt your name, Father. We thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to minister to the masses today, to minister to the people in Israel and all those within the sound of my voice. I pray for the peace of Israel, Lord. I pray for the peace in the Middle East and in Jerusalem. I pray for the peace of the United States and the guidance of Benjamin Netanyahu. I pray for the guidance of President Donald Trump and Mike Pence. I ask, Lord, that you intercede in whatever it is that needs to happen, that we can exalt your name, Lord. I ask that you intercede in every decision that needs to be made for the United States and for the best possible outcome for her people, that we would come back to Christ, Lord. I pray for healing, and I ask that you touch the masses. I ask that you touch that cancer. Matter of fact, I speak against that cancer in the name of Jesus. I bind it and I cast it out of their bodies. I command it to leave them. It has no right to be in them. I pray for the healing of the church. I speak against every disease that is afflicting the church today, from diabetes to blindness. I command those ears to open and those eyes to see, whether it's in a physical or a spiritual blindness, or a physical or a spiritual deafness to the word of God. I pray that those eyes will be opened in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray against the paralysis that has attacked many people, whether it be from an accident or some type of injury, whatever it is, Lord, I speak against that paralysis and I command those nerves to heal in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the healing power and the authority that you've given us in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for touching your people, that everybody in the sound of my voice, Lord, will be able to receive salvation, and that this message will be played over and over and over again. Today, I especially pray for those people, Lord, that are feeling helpless, like they have no purpose in life. Those young teenagers today, Lord, I know, as a matter of fact, there's many that do not have any guidance and direction. They don't know what they're supposed to do except for just to follow the herd. I ask, Lord, that you give my children the purpose and direction, and their friends, and all those that are without direction. I pray, Lord, that you will direct them and give them a purpose in their life, that you will introduce yourself to them, Lord, that you will guide them and speak to them and minister to them, that you will give the young people today a heart for you. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, that you will touch even the youngest, all the way down to 6 and 7, that you will start baptizing them in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, regardless of the situation in which they have been brought up in, Lord. I ask that you draw the little ones, Lord. Draw them, Father. Minister to them and keep them. I pray for my children's spouses, Lord, that you will touch them and that you will bless them and lift them up, that you will keep them until such a time, and that anybody that's not supposed to be with my children, Lord, that you will turn them away, that they will shut that door, and that you will open the door that they're supposed to go through. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers, and I thank you for the power and authority that you've given me in my tongue. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Remember to tune in to future broadcasts. You can follow me on Facebook or Twitter by going to blogtalkradio.com/WBOC. So you won't want to miss any upcoming broadcasts, and don't forget to tune in to the upcoming series of Mystery of the Ketubah. It's coming up very soon. Next week, we're going to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to go through Acts. And I also want to talk about some of the different Hebrew and Greek words we're going to get into. I can be reached at talk@wbocradio.org or write to WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. I'm your host, Deborah Powers, and thank you for tuning in to Bride of Christ Radio. I'll be back on the air, like I said, on Monday, and that will be Monday the 30th of September 2018, in case you're listening to this in the future. And I want you to know that you are the Bride of Christ, that God has not forgotten you, And I'm going to explain. Actually, it's Monday, October 1st. I apologize for that. That'll be back on the air. Monday, October 1st, with the message about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thank you so much for tuning in. I thank you for listening. And again, I said you are the bride of Christ. What I'm going to do is I'm going to explain in depth who you are and why you are the bride of Christ. Tune into that message, the series. You're not going to want to miss it. Praise God. You have a blessed week.